The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. It's a crazy day across the fruited plain, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not going to lie. We don't blow smoke up your wazoo here on this program, and we don't scream at you for 3 straight hours. We don't do that. We also don't get into fistfights with Geraldo on national television. No, we are a radio station of the people, and I gotta get to it. It's just a weird day. All right, we're gonna talk about a lot of crazy stuff today, and I want you to prepare yourself. We got some great guests. We got Huckabee coming up. We've got our good friend Senator Bill Hagerty is going to drop by with actually a shocking story. I mean, it's going to blow your mind. So we're going to be talking to him a little bit later on. But it's a weird day. And so I just want no matter what happens today, I just want you to keep that in the back of your mind. I'm on pain medicine for the foot, but that has nothing to do with it because I do this show medically free of all medicine. So we have that promise mainly because I get a little loopy, and Grace Baker knows this all too much. So anyway, here's the deal. Right now in the United States of America, Jews are under attack. The Middle East, it's in great turmoil, on the verge of war, and Joe Biden is apparently bribing children with Cheetos and ice cream cones to sit in his lap. Now, this is the state of America right now under the Biden administration. We have a president who apparently likes to drive around in a white van encouraging children to come inside and sit on his lap. I'm not making this up. We actually have audio. We're not going to play this audio because it's really hard to hear. But Biden yesterday invited the family of George Floyd, the career criminal, the man who was killed in police custody when Derek Chauvin put his knee on the neck, and we all know the story. So anyway, yesterday was the 1 year anniversary, and the Democrats are trying to deify this guy, and if they could, they would make him some sort of a saint, Saint Floyd. And if you believe him, if you believe the narrative coming from the mainstream media, this guy is a saint. Just an innocent man going about his day when a white cop, decided, woke up one day and said, I'm going to kill the first black person I see, I'm going to kill. And that's the mainstream media narrative of what happened in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So anyway, President Biden invited the family of George Floyd, St. Floyd, to come to the White House yesterday for the 1 year anniversary. And he met with the family. And literally, they just rolled out the red carpet. Now, I want to put a pin right there for just a moment, and I'm going to get to the creepy Cheetos, chocolate milk, and ice cream part of this. You know what Biden hasn't done since he's been in office? You know what he has not done? We've had a number of police officers across America who have been gunned down, who have been murdered by criminals in the line of duty. Not once has Joe Biden invited the family of a police officer to come to the White House. Not once has Joe Biden invited the child of a fallen police officer to sit in his lap and eat ice cream and drink chocolate milk. That has not happened. Why do you think that is? You know, Maxine Waters is out there, and she's advancing this narrative for the Democrats that whatever happened in Minnesota is happening nationwide, and that they're, that police officers are intentionally hunting down black people. And we exploded that narrative yesterday on this radio program, and I thought we did a pretty good job of it. The fact of the matter is that there was zero evidence presented. Again, zero evidence presented that this had anything to do with race. And we know that because we've read the transcripts of the court proceedings. The prosecutor, if they had, and just think about this, if the prosecutor had the evidence, if they knew that Derek Chauvin was a secret, you know, Klan leader and hated black people and was out to kill a black person, they would have found that evidence. They would have been able to convict him of a hate crime. But there was no evidence of that. And look, I will say this. Had there been evidence of that, I would have been the first person standing up and shouting that this guy should face the strongest penalty under the law. But that's just not true. It is not the case. So anyway, so here we have a situation where Biden has never invited, has never offered public comments about any law enforcement officer who has been gunned down in the line of duty. And yet they're inviting the family of St. George Floyd to the White House yesterday. And the interactions are just a little off-putting. I'm curious, Grace Baker, when you heard, and we're gonna share what happened here.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear details of,
yes,
did it sort of creep you out?
Yes, it creeped me out a lot. I mean, why would he say that? Why would he say this?
So he told reporters, Grace, that Jeez. he gave her snacks and a hug in the Oval Office. And Grace, there's actually a picture of the child Gianna walking into the and out of the West Wing with a tub of ice cream.
Oh my.
Not just like, you know, the little Ben and Jerry's, but apparently a tub of ice cream.
That's a lot of ice cream.
And he also gave her some Cheetos and some chocolate milk. You know what this reminds me of? Have you seen Family Guy?
A little bit.
You
enough.
Know the creepy old dude who's kind of like the pervo? The guy.
Yes.
Hey, kid, you want a Cheeto? Come here, kid. You want to come to my house? I've got some Cheetos.
Ew. It's like, the Candyman.
Right, exactly.
The Candyman. You know?
Do they have cameras in the Oval Office?
Ew.
I mean, you just want to make, you know, you want to make sure the kids are protected.
Ay-yi-yi.
So
why?
The little girl, 6 years old, and according to the Daily Mail, she was given an array of snacks and a big hug. Joe Biden said that
a big hug.
No.
Not a side hug.
No. And again, as I will say this, as I, not a celebrity, but when you're out there meeting
you're
people,
a celebrity. I'll say you're a celebrity.
You don't want to give somebody a full frontal hug.
No,
you never want to go full frontal.
I hate when people try to do that to me.
So you always want to do the side hug, and there's a way to do it. There's a way to do it. And, of course, now with China virus, nobody wants to touch anybody, except in the South.
That's
where
true.
The women always want – the women are huggers down here. You know, it is what it is.
Yes, that's not going away.
And so, anyway, you try to do the side hug. But no. According to Joe Biden, this is the quote, Grace, she threw her arms around me and gave me a big hug and wanted to sit on my lap.
Ooh.
And I love kids jumping on my lap.
Oh, yeah, this isn't the first time he said stuff like this.
Then he goes, my wife Jill would kill me. We gave her some ice. What? What is going on?
Like, kill you over some ice cream?
She'd
kill you for saying this stuff out loud.
Yeah, he's saying all the private stuff. He's saying the quiet parts out loud, as I say. Way out loud. We gave her some ice cream. She had some Cheetos. And did they test it?
Ew.
Did they test the ice cream? Oh, I think she had some chocolate milk. That's what he says.
I think she had some chocolate milk.
I would have tested the chocolate milk.
Man, I hope that's not how he fed his kids. It's terrible.
horrible food.
I mean, combo of the three things at the same time.
And they gave Trump holy, you know. Remember when the athletic teams
McDonald's.
Would come? McDonald's, you got the Burger King. How dare he? He's intentionally killing the black athletes by giving them the Big Macs and the cholesterol and the diabetes. He's doing it intentionally. And how dare he? They come to the White House and they don't give them caviar and filet mignon.
Biden's giving this kid Cheetos
who
are made of who knows what.
They're all over
chocolate milk and ice cream all at the same time.
I'm just
great idea.
Can I just say, this goes back to the stories of Joe Biden sitting poolside, inviting the children
poolside.
To come and caress his hairy legs.
Yeah, about his hairy legs.
Remember that?
Oh, I remember that.
And I'm thinking about this
as he's
blonde hair, and he
said things about children multiple times. So we've got the children jumping on his lap. He's done that before. And then we've got this time, again, talking about a kid on his lap. And then in the past, we've had him talking about kids stroking his leg hair.
Yes, yes.
What the heck?
And by the way, you know, I sit on the stand and it get hot. I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down. So it was straight, and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
Now, okay, I never noticed that. Did he say, I learned about roaches?
Roaches.
I never heard him. I never noticed that part before until now.
He loves kids sitting
on his lap.
I was
too distracted by the hairy legs comment.
Yeah, you know what? I'm just going to chalk this up to dementia. I'm not
going
to go down the road.
I think we may be going down,
but that would involve CSI.
Ooh.
I don't think we want to go down that path. So let's just chalk this up to dementia.
Okay.
And apparently the commander in chief loves to have small children, apparently females, sitting on his lap.
Apparently.
There you you heard it for yourself.
He has said it more than once, so this is true.
Folks, before I see the complaints on the social media, I told you it was going to be a weird day. All right, got to take a break. We got a lot going on today. 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Our live show blog is up and running, and that is a great resource for you. We've got links to all of the stories, including the Joe Biden audio. It would have been awkward to play that on the air. You wouldn't be able to really hear it. But you can, again, see it for yourself over on our website, ToddStearns.com. We'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Stearns.
So I was trying to find a part for my Cadillac the other day, but instead of going down to the auto store, I went online to rockauto.com and I saved a ton of money. You know, chain stores have different price tiers for the professional mechanics and the do-it-yourselfers, but rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, just like the airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody, and it does not require membership or an account to log in. The best part about it, RockAuto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. And best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And here's what I also want you to do. Write Starnes, Starnes, in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that I sent you to rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. I don't know if you've noticed it in your home in the summertime or in the springtime, really, that transition from winter to spring And yes, there's a little something. You know, sometimes the home, your house can get a little odor. And a lot of it has to do with all the moisture, you know, the springtime thunderstorms, and you get the mold and the mildew and the fungus. And sometimes your house can smell a little musty. You know, the Febreze doesn't work all the time. And if you got a dog like a beautiful Merlot, you know, sometimes if you got a pet, you get the little pet odor. So a lot of people are like, well, what do you do about it? You go out and buy all the deodorizers, and it doesn't work. Well, we've got something that does work, and I got to tell you about our new sponsor. And we utilize this product at the Starnes household. It's called the Thunderstorm. It is an air purifier from our good friends at Eden Pure. And this thing is unbelievable, and it works like a charm. You plug this thing in. It's very small. You don't even notice it. It looks like an Apple TV, you know, the little Apple TV box. It's about the size of that. And it literally will take all of the smell out of your house. I don't know how they do it, but it works. And they guarantee their product. It will not only take out the odor, but it also kills and prevents the spread of mold, which is a big deal. So here's what I want you to do. They have an awesome deal for all of our listeners. They're going to give you some huge savings, free shipping, if you get one of their air purifiers. It's the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. Here's the email address. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Put in the code word Todd, T-O-D-D, and you're going to get some great savings, free shipping. And again, I've got one of these, and it is unbelievable, unbelievable. Again, EdenPureDeals.com, code word Todd. All right, let's go to the phones. Chris over in Asheville, North Carolina, listening to us on WHKP. And Chris, I understand you're a little fired up right now.
Yes, I am.
What's going on?
I would not let my daughter go in a van and sit on Mr. Joe's lap.
Well, you sound like a pretty wise mom to me. I mean, when you hear these reports, it's just sort of weird.
I mean, remember, Joe, I won't even call him president because Trump is still my president. But anyway, Joe is the one that sneaks up behind women and smells their hair, touches their shoulders. No, I think he's out of line.
You know, and look... I know it's kind of creepy, and maybe we can share a few laughs here, but let's be honest, Chris. After what they did to Donald Trump, I mean, if Donald Trump had done something like this, they would have already labeled him a child molester, and they would have been calling, that Chris Hansen guy from NBC.
Yeah, right. I agree with you.
Chris.
Can't Joe find anything else to do? He has never gone to the border yet. And he's been president, or he's been in office for over 100 days, right?
Well, that is true. Maybe we should tell Biden there are just lots of kids at the border, and he just might run down there with an ice cream truck. I don't know. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, some Cheetos.
Chris, how are you liking the new show on WHKP?
Oh, I like it. I miss Rush. I cried, but there'll never be another Rush. He was one of a kind. Very, very smart man. Very, a lot of wisdom.
He was indeed. He's a great man, and we're honored to be able to be broadcasting on that great radio station. Chris, God bless you, and thank you for calling in, and give us a holler back one of these days. By the way, you know, Chris brought up something that I wanted to share with you. There is a new survey. You know, Chris said that she still considers Trump to be president. There is a new survey out, and sure enough, a good many of Republicans, 53% of you, according to the Reuters poll, say that President Trump is still the president of the United States, the true president. Only 3% of Democrats believe that Trump is the true president, and 25% of Americans. Can I just say something here? The fact that 3% of Democrats think Trump is the true president, that to me is the headline here. The idea that so many Americans believe that what happened on Election Day was fraud, that there was illegal voting, that the election was tainted. And I'm telling you, do not be surprised if these recounts underway in places like Atlanta and Maricopa and what's happening up in New Hampshire, if they uncover a lot of voter fraud. And if that happens, I'm telling you, there's going to be chaos inside the Beltway. So another thing out of this poll, 56% of Republicans, 25% of all Americans believe illegal voting tainted the presidential election in some way. Now, here's my question to you as we go to break and we're going to open up the phone lines. Do you consider Donald Trump to be the true president, or have you decided to move on? You're going to suck it up, and we're going to try to get this thing sorted out in 2024. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. Again, that's 844-747-8868. The website is toddstearns.com. Hey, we've got a newsletter coming out a little bit later this afternoon. Avery working on it right now. So now is a great time for you to sign up for our free newsletter. Over 250,000 Americans download that newsletter, and you should too. We'll be right back, America. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. Want to bring you up to speed. We're following some breaking news out of San Jose, California, where there are multiple people injured and, unfortunately, multiple people who have been killed. This is at a shooting at some sort of a transit facility. Let's take a listen to some audio. They just had a press conference a few moments ago.
The information I can tell you right now is very preliminary. I can confirm with you right now that we do have multiple victims and we have multiple casualties at this point. I can't confirm the exact number of injuries and fatalities, but I will tell you that there are multiple injuries and multiple fatalities in this case. This still is an ongoing investigation. We do have multiple agencies here helping us out with law enforcement side, as well as with the county fire side, city fire department, and multiple agencies.
All right, that was literally just a few moments ago, and that is the latest intel we have. Our team, Caleb Park, over at toddstearns.com, we're posting all of that information. We'll have a breaking news banner up there, so you'll be able to go and get all the latest info. And as soon as we get some more information on whatever happened, we're going to bring that to you. Again, this happened at some sort of a train control center. It's a hub that stores a lot of these public transit trains, you know, the subways and things of that nature. So that's all the information we have right now. And we'll be keeping you updated on our website, toddstearns.com. All right. Again, 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Interesting story over at toddstearns.com. Are you guys following the Legos? I know Avery, I think, are you a Lego guy, Avery?
I'm not too big into Lego, but I have several friends who are big into it.
So the people at Lego, and Grace, I know you're a woman, a female, but
yes.
You know, typically the little boys play with the Legos. But
sometimes. Okay. But I mean, I have brothers, so I did when I was younger.
So you know what the Legos are.
Yeah.
All right. So Lego is now going full-blown woke, and they have a brand new LGBTQ-themed Lego set. I didn't know that was a thing.
I didn't either, not till now.
But the whole point of this, Avery, is that the Legos are made to look like drag queens and people who identify as transgender.
Oh, gosh.
See, because I saw, I think, sometime last week, like a week and a half ago, maybe, that there was a Lego set that was celebrating the LGBTQIA+ or whatever community, and it was just a bunch. It was just, you know, like the multicolored flag and like little
Skittles.
Individual, yeah, something like that. And but this is the first time I'm hearing of this specific Lego set you're talking about.
They're also including black and brown colors, of course, to represent diversity.
Okay, yes. But you know, you can already with the little Lego people, you can already switch their like hair and stuff, just like with the whole Mr. Potato Head thing.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
I'm not sure I would want to stamp those parts. I'm just gonna be honest.
Oh,
that's
my.
A little creepy.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't either.
That
but.
Way.
I mean, but here's my question, because when you look at the Lego and it does look like a rainbow of Skittles, but they're Legos. When you look at the Legos, you would know, oh, so the pink one must be, you know, so my and sure enough, the pink one is the whatever, the transgender, whatever. So my question is, are they stereotyping? Is Lego stereotyping the LGBT community by the way they have designed the trans Lego person?
Interesting. Very good way to turn that around.
I'm just throwing that out there. We want to try to be helpful here on the Todd Stearns radio program.
Yeah, if you're going to be woke, well, I mean, you might as well be as 100% woke as you could possibly be.
But again, you know, you do wonder, I mean, back to, what is it, Potato Head, Mr. Potato Head, they were getting rid of Potato Head because they didn't want to have a Miss Potato Head. They wanted to have a gender-neutral potato. But what if there is, in fact, going to be a transgender potato? I mean, where do you draw the line?
What is it? I don't even want to know what's a transgender potato.
And see, like, I believe we had a guest on the show when this first came out, when the Mr. Potato Head controversy happened. And they said, technically, Mr. Potato Head was like the first transgender toy ever in existence because you can swap out the Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head parts fairly easily.
Oh, now, this is a brilliant observation. So what you're saying, then, is that Potato Head is technically a gender-neutral toy. And,
it could be whatever you want it to be.
It could be whatever you want it to be.
Just like with the Legos.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it is the Caitlyn Jenner of toys.
Apparently.
Potato
sure.
Head. All right. Well, there. I feel...
Do you feel more educated now?
I've got to read this. A good friend of ours, Tim Van Horn, who is our regular fill-in host on this program, says, do stepping on the transgender Legos hurt just as much as the others?
Yes.
Yes, they do.
That is a good point.
Yes.
Those things are, he's right. He says, those Legos are a holy terror on the floor.
See, Todd, we just need to surround the radio station with Legos to keep the libs out.
I like it. That's a great idea. I mean, our bunker, our talk show bunker is pretty secure.
I know it is already.
It
but
doesn't hurt to have
add
that extra layer.
Mm-hmm.
I like what you're saying there. All right. Mike Lindell sent me a text message last night. I was late night last night, and Mike happened to be in the state of Tennessee. He was in Nashville, which is the state capital, and the Republican governor's having a meeting there. And Mike Lindell has been leading this charge. He says he has the evidence that there was voter fraud. I have not seen this evidence. I don't know what this evidence is, but Mike Lindell is very confident that he's got this evidence. And he also promised to call out two governors, Brian Kemp of Georgia, all you folks listening to us on WDUN, Brian Kemp on Georgia, and Doug Ducey out in Arizona, and he called them out for not doing enough to address voter fraud when it actually happened. So anyway, Lindell is a mega donor to the Republican Party. This guy gives a lot of money to the Republican Party. And so he was invited. He was given a VIP pass, and he was given credentials to attend the Republican Governors Association meeting. And it's a pretty big deal. They're in Nashville, and they had a big, big dinner on the lawn of the governor's mansion last night. And so Lindell was getting ready to get on board the bus to go to the governor's house. And he was pulled aside and said, Mr. Lindell, we're sorry, but you're not invited anymore. You're not allowed to go to the governor's mansion. You can't do that. And Mike Lindell sent me a message last night, sent me a text message, and he said, Todd, you're not going to believe what happened. But they invited me to the dinner. They said, hey, we want you to come to this dinner. And Mike actually sent me a screenshot. I mean, I trust the man, but he sent me a screenshot of his credentials. He said, Todd, they invited me to this dinner. Right as we were leaving to get on the bus to go to the dinner, they took away his credentials and his VIP pass. And they said he could not go, and he was being removed from the rest of the event. So Politico reached out to some Republican officials, and they confirmed that this happened. And they said, their argument is, well, Mike Lindell is not a member of the Republican Governors Association, and it's only those members are allowed. Well, that's a load of crap right there. Crapola, ladies and gentlemen, because Lindell clearly had an invitation because he's a mega donor. Now, Mike tells me that this is about Brian Kemp and Doug Ducey, and he says that Brian Kemp and Doug Ducey are behind all of this. So you folks in Georgia, your governor got Mike Lindell booted, got the heave-ho from the RNC or the RGA. I want to read some quotes. Mike, we've got the story up on our website. Mike said, Todd, the RGA representative told me it had to do with Doug Ducey and Brian Kemp. He said, Doug Ducey and Brian Kemp should be ashamed of themselves. Both feared being talked to by me. And so they gave him the boot. I just have a question for you folks in Arizona and Georgia. Do you think your governors did enough to defend President Trump? Do you think they did enough to fight back against the allegations of voter fraud? I mean, you folks in Georgia especially, not only you got the double whammy. Not only was it the general election, but then you had the special Senate races. Did your leadership in Georgia do enough? Does Brian Kemp deserve another term as your governor? 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, speaking of MyPillow, Mike is a sponsor of this program, and he's got great deals, including the all-new My Slippers. If you're going to go to MyPillow.com in the break, do so, and be sure to use that promo code STARNS, and you're going to get some great deals on some lovely slippers. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Coming up a little bit later on, Senator Bill Hagerty from Tennessee is going to come on. He's got a warning for every American city in the country. Listen up. The Biden administration, they're sending illegal aliens into your communities in the dark of night. And this was uncovered by a television station by reporters in Chattanooga, Tennessee, where the Biden administration landing jetliners filled with illegal alien children and just dumping the kids off. It was unbelievable. Hagerty says this is happening in other cities, too, and he's got the evidence, so we're going to be talking to him. And we also want to hear from you on this. Are you hearing reports of illegal aliens being just dumped into your communities? And here's the problem. When that happens, the burden of taking care of all of these people, it goes from the federal government to you and your state. It is a huge, huge problem. So we're going to be talking to the senator about that a little bit later on today. Let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Tim, Little Rock, Arkansas. Hey, Tim, what's going on?
Buddy, we need you back. I've had 3 days without you, and I miss you.
Are you going through withdrawal, Tim? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, I'm kind of going through withdrawal, and, well, I don't like the other show.
Well, you know what? We do miss you guys over at KARN, but the good news, Tim, is, you know, we've got the app, and folks, if you haven't downloaded our app, go to kwamradio.com right now, kwamradio.com, and you can download that app. And, Tim, you can also watch us on the Facebook live stream.
Yeah, I drive a wrecker for 10 hours a day.
So you can't watch that.
And the only way I get y'all was on the radio.
Oh, goodness. Well, Tim, I'm sorry about that, but you know I want you to still give us a call every now and again. We're still on the radio, and one day we're going to be back in Little Rock. You hang in there.
Well, when their numbers start dropping because I ain't listening to it anymore, 3 days was more than enough.
Well,
and they'll get the pitcher to bring you back.
Well, you know what? Just give that radio station a call, and folks, if you are listening to us from Arkansas, call the radio station and tell them you want the Todd Stern Show back. We like Dan Bongino, but we like us better. So.
So, yes, I like y'all better.
Tim, you're a good man, and you be safe out there on the roads today.
Have a blessed day, sir.
All right, you too. All right, that's Tim from Little Rock, Arkansas. And look, that's the way it goes in the radio business. But we're also adding lots of new stations, and we're going to be telling you more about that in the coming weeks. But I'm telling you, folks, and by the way, just got a text message from one of our listeners in Georgia. Brian Kemp, one and done. You see, Brian Kemp, he's an interesting cat, this guy. He begged and pleaded with us to come on to our radio show when he was running for governor. There was a very crowded field, and he was all about telling us he was the true conservative. And I got to tell you, I'm a little disappointed in what the governor's, how he's been governing. Because he seems to me more like a Liz Cheney-style Republican. Now, I don't know. Maybe you folks, and we've got WRWH, DUN. We've got a lot of stations up there in that part of the country. But maybe you guys feel differently. But I just get that rhino vibe coming from Brian Kemp. 844-747-8868. Let's go to the beautiful state of Maine. Webster on WLOB. All right, Webster, what's going on?
Okay, how do you do, first of all? Love your show.
Thank you.
Second of all, you just mentioned the fact that in the dead of night that we're having illegal aliens dropped off in cities. I don't know about Maine yet, but I know this. There should be a town committee put together that the minute if those children land, they put them right back on a plane and dump them in Washington, D.C.
Now, you see, I like this idea. And then you can bring back the fencing and just fence off the city.
Well, I don't know about that. But the point is, these people aren't paying for the consequences of their actions. They're making everybody else pay. And that just isn't fair, and it isn't American.
Well, no, it's not. It's not American. And Webster, there are reports that so far this year, over 300,000 illegal aliens have been allowed to enter the country. I mean, those are, for example, Lafayette, Louisiana, that's about the size of your metro area. So our listeners down at KROF, can you just imagine a city that large just spontaneously, happening? I mean, it takes years to build the infrastructure, and the healthcare system, the whole nine yards, to accommodate those people, Webster.
And here's the other thing, too. Here's another suggestion. If you read the Second Amendment, it talks about forming a militia. Well, perhaps the good people of Texas and all along the border ought to just get out there and repel invaders themselves.
Well, there you go. It's a good idea. Webster, a good call. Give us a holler back one of these days, and thank you for listening. WLOB, Ray Richardson Country, and we love all of our great affiliates there. Just to want to bring you an update on this news, and I'm sure your top-of-the-hour news on your radio station is going to have more info on this, but there has been a mass shooting in San Jose, California. It is no longer an active shooter scene. We're getting reports the shooter is dead. There are multiple fatalities. We don't know how many, but they're using the term multiple. We also understand there are multiple injuries. So we're gonna keep you updated on this. And if they do a live presser, we may dip into that as we follow this breaking news out of San Jose. We have stories up, links to Twitter feeds from the site over at toddstarns.com, and I would encourage you to check out all of that information there. All right, coming up right after the top of the hour news, our good friend Mike Huckabee is going to drop by. We're going to talk to him about the situation within the Democrat Party. I got to tell you, folks, I mean, these people up on Capitol Hill, these people hate Jews. I've never seen anything like this. And we're going to bring you some new intel, some of the latest attacks. Jews are now being denied service at hair salons, at restaurants, not No, not in Gaza, here in the United States. We're going to tell you all about that coming up next. Stick around. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's common sense conservative commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What an honor to be broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Noon to 3 Eastern, and folks, we got a lot going on in America. I just want you to think about where we are in the nation right now, this day in American history. Black Lives Matter flags are flying over our embassies. Lego is churning out transgender building blocks. And Joe Biden is plying children with Cheetos and ice cream so they'll sit in his lap. All I can tell you is elections have consequences. That's all. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number if you want to weigh in on today's program. I want to go right now, though, to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Good friend of this program from across the mighty Mississippi River in the great state of Arkansas, Governor Mike Huckabee. Hey, Governor, how's it going?
Well, Todd, I do not have a bag of Cheetos with me today. I don't care what Joe Biden has. That's up to him and Corn Pop. But what a crazy world we're living in. What you've just described is the kind of thing you scratch your head and say, what happened to America? I thought that's where we lived.
You know, Governor, we had Senator Rick Scott on the show yesterday, and he made an interesting point. He said 9 months ago, we had the Abraham Accord. You had President Trump bringing peace to the Middle East, and now we're on the verge of a full-scale war over there.
People need to understand what is going on. And when the Biden administration says they want to give some money to the Palestinians, what they need to remember is they've already given money to the Palestinians. They gave it to Iran, who gave it to Hamas, who built rockets with it. And instead of building roads, they built rockets. Instead of giving their people bread, they gave them bombs. This is insanity. When the United States taxpayer is being asked, which is what's going on, being asked to give some money to the Palestinians, which will in turn give it to Hamas in Gaza so they can rebuild. They're not going to rebuild with it. They're going to buy more bombs and rockets. And the reason that there's this new boldness on the part of the Iranians and their proxy, Hamas, is because Joe Biden has lifted the sanction and has just started giving cash again to Iran and said, we're going to renew the Iranian nuclear deal. This is what you get when you do stupid stuff. And, you know, I'm at a loss to explain how in the world this could be sound diplomatic policy for the United States of America.
Are you surprised that the Biden administration has not weighed in on this anti-Jewish violence that's happening on American soil? I mean, some of these videos coming out of New York City and other places, it's just horrifying. I mean, Jews are being beaten in the streets, and yet the Biden administration really hasn't spoken out. They haven't condemned any of this.
The largest number of hate crimes in the country, according to the FBI, happened to Jews. It's not happening. I mean, hate crime is horrible. I don't care who it happens to. But the largest volume of hate crimes happens to the Jewish people. And you don't hear that. But the reason Joe Biden is not bringing it up and condemning it is because he's got so much pressure from the squad and the anti-Semitic members of Congress in the Democrat Party that are a part of that group, that he doesn't in any way make them mad. And it just is beyond me to understand how they can do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, there were some reports out yesterday, and we had a guy from Arkansas, actually. He's a Jewish guy. He's leaving. He's going to Israel, moving to Israel. He just says he doesn't feel safe here in America. And then when you hear these reports, there was a report out yesterday, Governor, that that Jews are being denied service in some hair salons and restaurants. It's just, I think there is a consequence to the Biden administration and to what the Democrats are doing by really de facto siding with the terrorist group Hamas.
I would urge every Christian in America to recognize that we have really a moral obligation to stand with our Jewish friends. We also have a good biblical reason to do so. And I hope all of our Christian listeners recognize that without the foundation of Judaism, there is no Christian faith. So, you know, as I told some of my Jewish friends in Israel, I've been there many, many times over the past 48 years, and they've asked, why is it evangelicals are so supportive of Israel and supportive of Jewish people? I said, because you can be a Jew and have nothing to do with Christianity, but you can't be a Christian and not have a whole lot to do, including your complete belief in the authenticity of the Old Testament. There is no Christian faith without the foundation of the Jewish faith and the Old Testament. So that's why. And we're people of the book. We believe that if the Bible says that God will bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse Israel, you know, we still believe the stuff that's in the book, and it's as simple as that.
On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, our good friend, Governor Mike Huckabee, MikeHuckabee.com, and you can also watch his awesome weekend show over on TBN. Governor, you've got a great story up, giving Tulsi Gabbard some credit for really bucking the trends within her party. I like her. I don't agree with a lot of her, you know, with a lot of the stuff she believes in, but I do. There are some things, especially going after Mayor Lesbian Lightfoot, as we call her, because we, you know, we want to appreciate the identity there. But she's going after Lightfoot for refusing to do interviews with white reporters.
Well, it's racism, pure and simple, for the mayor of Chicago to say, I will only talk to people who are the same color as me. What else is that? It's racism. If I said that I would only talk to white people, my gosh, I'd be rightfully castigated for that. It would be racism on my part. I would never say something as stupid as that. But the mayor of Chicago not only says it, but the mayor of Chicago apparently gets away with it and gets blessed for it. I like Tulsi Gabbard. I'm like you. A lot of things she and I disagree on, but I just find it so refreshing that there is at least a few Democrats who express themselves with common sense. They have convictions. They may be different than mine, but they're genuine and they're thoughtful, and they're not just lemmings marching along with whatever Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer says. So I wish there were more people who would be like Tulsi and be independent-minded and think for themselves and not let AOC and crazy people like Maxine Waters do their thinking for them.
You know, it's interesting. I always thought that she would be the ideal running mate for somebody over on the Democrat Party side, because I think that she could have picked up some of those independent voters. But the reality is, you know, she opposed as a kid. I think she grew up in an evangelical Christian home. And she was actually, as a teenager, she supported the, you know, the traditional marriage, biblical definition of marriage. And I don't think they would ever let her, they're not ever going to forgive her for that on the Democrat side. I think that's the sticking point.
I think that, and also in her young life, she was very pro-life. And, you know, she may have evolved from that and changed from it. I would hope not, but I think she probably has. When you talk to Tulsi Gabbard, you don't get the impression that she's read the playbook from the Democratic National Committee and she's decided that she's going to use the exact words that they've programmed her to say. You get a sense you're talking to a person who's thought through what she believes. She's calm. She doesn't hate anybody. She's very thoughtful and, quite frankly, an incredibly intelligent woman. And I enjoy visiting with her every time we've had a conversation.
I want to get your thoughts on how things are going with the Republican Party. We sort of look to you as, I don't want to say elder statesman, but you are a statesman of the party. Wow, I just went off rails. So sorry. But we had Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene on yesterday. There was a big kerfuffle. She said something that kind of bothered me, that Kevin McCarthy didn't pull her aside, didn't call, say, hey, what the heck? What did you mean by this? She was attacked by her party leadership in public. And the issue for me is, do we have leadership, strong leadership in the party? And are you getting a little nervous about, again, the unity within the Republican Party?
I think generally we have unity. There are the outliers, the Liz Cheneys who I don't know what she represents anymore. She doesn't represent the people of Wyoming very well by their own polling. And she doesn't seem to understand that this isn't about the personality of Donald Trump, but it is about the policies that a lot of people have come to the Republican Party in order to embrace: pro-life, pro-Israel, lower taxes, but also fighting against the Chinese influence, fighting for working men and women, fighting for African-Americans and Hispanics to have the best jobs of their lives. That's the Republican Party of the future, and it's one that she doesn't seem to want to be a part of. So I say, Liz, get over there to MSNBC and sit there and let them stroke your hair and tell you how wonderful you are, because they're the only people in America that are going to do it. And as soon as they realize that you're not probably going to vote lockstep with them, they're going to disappear as well. So, you know, when I hear some of these what I call outlier Republicans angry, they're bitter, they didn't get what they want, they're not listened to that much, you know, that's fine. You can stay in the party if you want, but if you don't want to, you can leave. But there's not that many of them, Todd. There just isn't. Most of us are pretty unified in our sense of who we are, what we believe. We're not personality worshipers, as is often alleged, but we do believe that we want a strong America First policy. And the reason we appreciated President Trump is because he put America first. He made sure that we knew who was on our borders. He did push back on China and stop their cheating and the trade deals and taking jobs from Americans. Quite frankly, I still appreciate that.
You see, and I got to brag on you for a minute, Gov. I know President Trump gets the credit for that, and he should, but it was you who really laid the foundation for, you know, this really this groundswell of blue-collar Americans coming back into the Republican Party. I think this goes back to your presidential campaigns, and I think the establishment, you know, Republicans declared war on you back in the day. And but I think that by and large, you know, you spoke to the heart of this party way back in those races, and I think this is the fruit, the result of your efforts.
Well, you're very kind. You know, I was accused of being a populist back in 2008. The Wall Street crowd hated me and did everything they could to try to keep me from ever getting the nomination, and they were pretty good at it. But the fact is, yes, I was out there saying that we needed to be the party standing for the people who were standing on hard concrete floors lifting heavy things all day. And that the Republican Party that I wanted to be a part of was not the country club Republican Party, but the working man's Republican Party. Donald Trump came along, he had a little better megaphone than I did. And, you know, one of the reasons I've been supportive of him is because the policies that he put forth, putting America and Americans first, was exactly what I was talking about back in 2008.
Governor, we've got about 20 seconds here. What's coming up on the big show this weekend?
We've got a special Memorial Day show. Oliver North is going to be our guest, and we'll be honoring veterans and talking about what they have done to make this country great. Mark Farner from Grand Funk Railroad is our musical guest. A lot of people may not know, but one of the great anthems of the Vietnam War veterans was the song I'm Your Captain and Closer to Home, and he'll be doing that on the show this weekend.
Oh, that's going to be fantastic. Folks, got to check out Huckabee this weekend on TBN. MikeHuckabee.com is the website. Governor, always good having you on the show.
Thank you. Take care, Todd.
All right. Governor Mike Huckabee, ladies and gentlemen, and one of the good guys. And honestly, without Huckabee in those early races back in the 2007, 2008, I don't know if there would have been a strong enough base of those blue-collar workers to get where we are now. So anyway, don't underestimate the great work that Governor Huckabee did for this party. All right, look, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
All right, let's get to the phones. North Carolina, Kitty, hanging out with us on The Talk Station. Kitty, what's on your mind today?
Hello, Todd. Well, one thing I want to say, Trump is my president. And I want to tell you that our GOP has car stickers that read, Trump is president. Now, concerning the Black Lives Matter flags flying over our embassy, we've got the BLM flags and we've got the rainbow flags. I think it's time for us to fly White Lives Matter flags. And we've got to stand up and fight. Another thing, I think we should march and rally for the support of the Jewish people.
You see, I got to tell you, Kitty, I'm with you on that. And I know that the Talk Station carries my daily commentary. And the commentary today, I call on Christians to stand up and fight alongside our Jewish countrymen. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this, that silence in the face of evil is evil itself. And Kitty, every one of us, we've got an obligation to stand up.
Yes.
Let me tell you this, Kitty, and you're a sweet lady, and I got to tell you something. I guarantee you, we want people like you on the front lines fighting because you're a fierce defender of freedom, ma'am, and that's what it's going to take. We've got to have people standing up and standing in the gap. And I know it's hard for a lot of folks, but you just got to do it. Kitty, God bless you, and thank you for calling in. But we can never allow another Holocaust to happen. Never. And we cannot afford to turn a blind eye. We've got to be willing to take a stand. So, Kitty, again, thank you for the call, and we appreciate you listening to the program. All right, we've got to take a break. A good friend of mine, I can't wait to introduce this guy to you. His name is Dr. Don Wilton. He's the pastor at the First Baptist Church in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and he's also the pastor, or was the pastor, of Billy Graham. We're going to talk to Dr. Don Wilton coming up next. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, coming up in the next hour of the show, Senator Bill Hagerty from Tennessee is going to drop by tomorrow. Senator Rand Paul is going to be here. He had a last-minute vote. We were not able to get him on the show today, but he will be joining us tomorrow on the Todd Stearns radio program. Hey, ToddStearns.com, and now is a great opportunity for you to get over there and sign up for our free newsletter and also the all-new podcast. We've got a great podcast, so if you miss an episode of the program, you'll be able to find it there at ToddStearns.com. Well, one of my favorite people on the planet is the pastor of a church out in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And they've got not one, and look, it's a great church, but they've got a great hamburger joint over there called The Beacon. And I got to tell you, you will clog an artery or two over there, but it's worth it. Trust me. But I love going there to hear an incredible pastor who also happened to be the pastor of Billy Graham. Now, is that not intriguing? I mean, what does it take to be the pastor of America's pastor? I mean, that's a big job. Well, he's written an incredible book about his Saturdays with Billy Graham, and the name of the book is titled Saturdays with Billy, My Friendship with Billy Graham. And on the Liberty University Newsmaker line is the great pastor of the First Baptist Church in Spartanburg, Dr. Don Wilton. Dr. Don, how's it going today?
Just wonderful, Todd, and how incredible to be with you, my friend, and all our listeners. I just count this the greatest joy ever.
Well, Dr. Wilton, it's been a long time. I mean, you and I, we palled around over at the beautiful facility there in Asheville, the Billy Graham Training Center, and you've been a guest speaker at some of our fall getaways, and our crowd loves you.
Well, I cannot tell you what a blessing that has been, and I heard from people all around the country when we were together at the Billy Graham Training Center, the Cove, Todd. They sure love you, my friend, and appreciate everything that you stand for as I do. And so it's a great honor to be on with you today.
Yeah, I want to talk about this book, and this must have been a lot of fun for you to write. I mean, it's a great loss. Billy Graham, of course, now in heaven, but you spent a lot of time with him. And I guess the starting point is, how did you become Billy Graham's pastor?
Well, I'm still trying to figure that out myself. You know, how do you get a nobody like me from Zululand in Africa to become so close to someone as wonderful as Dr. Billy Graham? Well, you know, Todd, it's a long story, and I write about a lot of it in Saturdays with Billy. But in 1993, preached my first message as the new pastor of First Baptist Church in Spartanburg, South Carolina. My phone rang, and it was Dr. Billy Graham and Miss Ruth. I nearly had a heart attack, I'll tell you right now. And he invited me. He had been listening to me on television, and he invited me the next day to come up and to visit with him at their home in Montreat. And Todd, only God could have done this, because it was like an instant friendship. There was just a fellowship and a friendship. It was unlikely where it came from. Only God can explain. But that friendship grew very deep and very quickly. And 12 years after that, he asked me one day, called me, and I went up there, and he asked me if he could become a member of our church, because he felt like I was his pastor. And so I became not only his friend, but his pastor, which is the way it should be. And so for, you know, almost 25 years, I had the privilege of sitting at the feet of one of the most amazing, humble men that have ever graced this planet. And I will never get over it. And Saturdays with Billy is just an effort to try and perpetuate and show people what I consider to be the face of God's grace. This is not a biography. There are so many wonderful biographies. My good friend Greg Laurie just wrote a great biography. We got lots of biographies. This is a very intimate, personal account with pictures of two people sitting there. And if you like, I'll give you that picture, Todd.
You know, I would. And Dr. Wilton, I have to tell you, before you do that, I have to tell you, those are the kinds of books. The book you wrote are the kinds of books I love, because I think you really get this unique perspective and this personal perspective of who these, you know, great, I don't want to say, I'm saying celebrity, but you know what I'm talking about. I mean, this is a great man, and you have a personal one-on-one connection with him.
Well, and Todd, I so love and resonate with what you're saying. Mine was a very intimate, very personal, continual for two decades of eating, fellowshipping, laughing, walking, preparing, receiving guests. You can only imagine, you know, the kings and queens and prime ministers and presidents. You know, we always felt anybody and everybody wanted to be around Mr. Graham. And perhaps Saturdays with Billy helps to throw light on the person, on this man, this amazing person. And you know, Todd, people ask me all the time, what was it like? So here it is. I'll tell our listeners this. If you want a picture of Don Wilton and Billy Graham, you've got a picture of a nobody who thought he was a somebody talking to a somebody who thought he was a nobody. Everything was backwards with Mr. Graham. It was all upside down. In my eyes, there was nobody more well-known, more loved, more famous, more popular, in my eyes, and yet he was so humble. You would have thought, Todd, if you and I, if you were a fly on the wall, if you'll beg my pardon, you would have thought that I was the important person in this relationship. Now, is that not the silliest thing you've ever heard in your life?
It's fascinating. I just, I really wish that, and I hope that these new generation of Americans, these young people, you know, Grace, our call screener, you know, she's young. She didn't grow up with Billy Graham, doing the Crusades and being in the headlines and watching all those people come forward and the giant crowds in the stadiums. And that was such a fabric and a part of America for so many years. And I got to be honest with you, I miss that. I know there are festivals and things going on, but that was really a special and unique time in American history.
Well, Todd, and you're so right. And you know that I had the privilege of leading his funeral service. And, you know, just very briefly, because, again, I write about this very much in Saturdays with Billy from a personal perspective. But, you know, you can just imagine me and David Bruce leading in slow time Mr. Graham's casket up the steps of the rotunda of the Capitol of the United States of America in slow time, led by this honor guard where the whole world stopped. And that ceremonial knock on the door, when that door opened, a who's who of the power of the world was in there. The president of the United States, every member of Congress, the leaders of both the House and the Senate, all the members of the Supreme Court of the United States. And they all stood in silence as we led this dear man into the rotunda. And then to hear people speak, and when Michael W. Smith began to play Just As I Am Without One Plea,
oh, wow.
And I'm standing there next to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, and my heart is just saying, how can this be that a man so great could command such respect? And he teaches us so much about what it means to be from the inside out, not just from the outside in.
It was amazing. I remember being there at the library for the funeral, and Dr. Wilton, I was invited as a guest, and then Fox said, "Well, we want you to cover this," and so I was up on the risers, and many of the secular reporters didn't have a clue who was there, what was going on. So they, I would say, "Oh, well, there's that guy's James Dobson. There's Sarah Palin. You know, that's Michael W. Smith," and one of the things that was striking. At the end of the service, a guy from USA Today turned to me and said, this kind of felt like a celebration service. This didn't feel like a mournful funeral. There was something else here. I mean, it was incredible because, of course, we know that was not the end of the story with Billy Graham.
Absolutely, because he had such a profound love for the Lord Jesus Christ. His life was Jesus. And Todd, to explain that, I tell people, and I say this with profound respect and love, Mr. Graham would not like me to say this. He was so humble. But when I consider Mr. Graham, I always felt like I was looking at the face of God's grace. And he knew who he was. And he had such an abiding conviction that he was a sinner saved by the grace of God, and that Jesus died for all people. He treated all people the same way. He was so humble. He had such an open heart, and he was so profoundly committed to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about death on and on and on. He and I discussed his funeral for years, Todd, and all his conversations were about the reality of knowing that he was going to be seated at the feast table of the king, and that all of us who know Christ will join him there. He had such a profound conviction. People from all over the world came to hear him, not just because of the conviction of his message, but because of the person that he was as he carried that conviction into the hearts of people across the world.
Dr. Wilton, you know, we can have you on for all 3 hours of this program, but we're going to have to leave it there. And this is a great moment for you, the listeners, to get a copy of this book. And we have made it very simple. We have a link to this book on our website, the live show blog, Saturdays with Billy, My Friendship with Billy Graham, written by the incredible author and pastor, Dr. Don Wilton. Dr. Wilton, we're going to have to leave it there, but we would love to get you back on the program very, very soon.
Thank you, Todd. God bless you, and I sure will look forward to seeing you again.
All right, Dr. Don Wilton. Wow, what a great man, and what a great book. And Grace, you were smiling. Why? I've never seen you smile so much.
I just love his voice.
Isn't it? He does have a great voice.
You know, like, I love his accent.
And he served in the Special Forces. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy's, he's got a great story on his own.
Oh, yeah,
and
I'm sure.
He's got to write that book one day. But he really did have this incredibly unique relationship, kept it very personal, very private with Billy Graham. And he would go up there on Saturdays and visit with Billy Graham up until the very end. These are the kinds of books that I love to read. I have a favorite story. I've got to share this. Here in the Memphis, Tennessee area, there was a pastor by the name of Adrian Rogers, who was pastor of the Bellevue Baptist Church, where I attend. And there was a Billy Graham crusade here in Memphis. And so I was speaking at Adrian Rogers. There's a ministry called Love Worth Finding. And they presented me with a beautiful gift, which I have in my home. It's a framed piece of artwork. It's a photograph of Billy Graham and Adrian Rogers and a personal note that Billy Graham wrote to Adrian Rogers about the Memphis Crusade, where thousands of people converted to Christianity. And you know what really struck me about this letter? It really was the simplicity of Billy Graham, and you heard Dr. Wilton talking about that. Billy Graham wrote that letter on some stationery that was in the hotel room. Not at the famed Peabody Hotel, the grandest hotel of the South. That's not where Billy Graham stayed. He stayed at the Holiday Inn. And I think that says a lot about, you know, you've got these big, you know, prosperity preachers and the televangelists, and they stay at the fancy hotels. But that wasn't Billy Graham. He stayed where regular folks stayed, over at the Holiday Inn. And I think that said a lot. You know, I bet some of you probably have a great memory of Billy Graham as well. Give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free number, 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
You know, this is the kind of music I would, you know, you want to go home, pour yourself a big old mason jar full of sweet tea, park yourself in the Cracker Barrel rocking chair, and just watch the wind blow through the poplar trees. That's the kind of music that is. So anyway, welcome back to the show. Good to have you with us. I really don't know where that came from, but go figure. Let's get to the phones real quick. Billy listening to us on the great KYKN out in Oregon. Billy, good to have you with us today. What's on your mind?
Yes, man. Troy, but you can call me whatever you like. I feel like I'm maybe beating a dead horse to death here because we've got on over and over this about Trump running for election. And I think whenever Hillary lost the election and they saw that Trump was actually doing the things he promised he said he was going to do, I think that set the Democrats way off because they're going, hey, we finally got a president that's actually doing the things he said he was going to do when he was running. And so they spent 3.5 years, millions and millions of dollars, wasting their time trying to get rid of Donald Trump. And I think when it came to the election, I think they knew this is the only other way we're going to be able to get rid of this guy. We can't get rid of him through the election process. We're going to be stuck with this guy another 4 years.
So what do you think happened? You think they stole the election?
Oh, definitely. I think they definitely stole the election because it seemed funny because I'm on Pacific Standard Time. And I remember going to bed, I don't know, about 7 o'clock, maybe 8 o'clock, because I go to bed early. I'm getting old. But anyway, they were counting votes, and all of a sudden my wife goes, oh, yeah, they quit counting votes right after you went to bed. And they didn't start counting votes until, you know, almost the next day, because Trump was creaming Biden in the election. And I think people in power, I think they made some phone calls, and they said, we got to put a stop to this. Something needs to be done.
Well,
and we don't care what it takes, but you need to take care of it.
Well,
so
Billy,
and
clearly it worked. And again, I too believe that the election was stolen. Can I prove it? No, I cannot. But I think they're getting very close in Maricopa County and in Georgia. And now there's a situation in New Hampshire that's unfolding. So let's see what happens here. And the question is, what happens if they really do, beyond a shadow of a doubt, prove that the election was stolen? What then? Billy, thanks for the call. By the way, Obama, there's a new book coming out about Obama. And according to this book, Obama called members of the Tea Party movement racist mother effers. So yeah, that's Barack Obama. Just remember, elections have consequences. Unbelievable. All right, stick around, folks. Senator Bill Hagerty coming up. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. We made it to hour three of the big show today. Good to have you with us. Man, it's been a busy day, and we told you it was a little weird today. Some weird stories in the news. The San Francisco Teachers Union just voted to boycott Israel. And I'm sure that's going to break a lot of hearts over in Tel Aviv. But this is the news coming out of San Francisco right now. I'm telling you, this anti-Semitism, we've got to address this. And I believe it's imperative for every freedom-loving Christian in America to stand alongside our fellow Jewish countrymen. We've got to do it. This is just unacceptable. So anyway, here's our call in number, 844-747-8868, toddstearns.com, our live show blog. A few days ago, we were talking with Senator Marsha Blackburn about this crazy story out of Chattanooga where a local TV crew captured on film the Biden administration dropping off plane loads of illegal alien children in Chattanooga and then just taking right back off. No one knew about it. The governor was not notified. State leaders were not notified. And now you have a lot of people asking questions, including our next guest, Senator Bill Hagerty, also from the great state of Tennessee. Senator, good to have you back with us.
Likewise, Todd. It's great to be back on with you, too.
And Senator, I got to tell you, hats off to you, sir. You have been delivering on every single one of your campaign promises to voters, and that says a lot about your character and your leadership, and I just want to say thank you as a fellow Tennessean.
Well, thanks, Todd. I tell you, I have been amazed at the challenges that we're facing right now as a nation, so many of them coming from the Biden administration, which is creating, you know, so many challenges for us, not only here in America, but around the globe. And, you know, what we're talking about with respect to the failure at the border is precipitating something that I predicted for months would happen. And that is that we're going to have a resettling of migrants in all of our communities, making every town a border town in America. That's going to burden our schools. It's going to overwhelm our hospitals. It's going to put a lot more pressure on law enforcement agencies. And as I talk to sheriffs across Tennessee, as I talk to law enforcement officers across Tennessee, they're seeing an increase in some terrible crime. We've got, a massive increase in drug overdoses, deaths from fentanyl. You've got an increase in, the terrible things that go on with human trafficking. That's happening in our state. And most recently, as you mentioned, this is happening in Chattanooga in a manner that has been uncovered and captured, and we're still digging in more.
I'm surprised to hear that Governor Bill Lee was not notified. No one apparently was that these illegals were being flown into the state. Is this an anomaly? Are you hearing of other instances of this happening?
Senator Blackburn and I have been pressing very hard because we have had several of our colleagues come and ask us about this. I think Tennessee is the first to uncover it. But I'll share with you if I can, Todd. This is a text that I got from a friend of mine in East Tennessee. Here's Woody. I'm just going to read it to you from my phone if I can. He's flying back. He said he and his wife were on a flight from Dallas to Chattanooga last Tuesday. Flight landed in Chattanooga around 11:15 a.m. And at the Dallas-Fort Worth airport, he says, I spoke with an adult male that was escorting 8 to 10 unaccompanied minor males that were on the flight. He told me he was taking them to a shelter in Chattanooga. This is my friend's text. This is coming on commercial flights, too. You mentioned, Todd, the four flights that had been filmed coming into a private air terminal. But they're putting them on commercial flights. They're putting them on private air flights. I don't know how else they're transporting them, but they are moving these migrants that have entered our nation illegally around the country, and they are giving zero transparency into their plans, what's happening. And as I mentioned before, local communities need to know what's coming their way. Again, it's going to overwhelm the schools, the hospitals, the law enforcement agencies. This is something that's going to continue until we fix that problem at the border.
So, Senator, I mean, this is your first term in office, and you've already made a name for yourself. You are taking action here, and what are you doing to address this, and what are you hearing from the administration, if anything?
Well, I'll take you back a couple of weeks to let you know what I've been doing to address it. I took the first official flight from the United States Senate, the first official trip outside of the country from the U.S. Senate since the pandemic hit, and I took it to Guatemala and to Mexico. I met with the president of Guatemala. I met with the foreign minister there. I met with a number of leaders in the private sector and the communities there. This is a huge problem for them, too. What they are seeing on their side is nuclear families being destroyed, breadwinners leaving, local communities are losing critical people in the community. The other problem they've got is they don't know who's entering their country, because this is creating a path that's even more so the concern for Mexico. The Mexican foreign minister told me, he said, I've got a huge national security problem on my end too. I was complaining about my concerns and the fact that I want that border situation to stop now. But he said, we've got our own problems, and you all are causing it. I've got, people coming from Russia, from China, from Yemen, moving through, and the Mexican authorities don't know who's coming through their country either. So it's a problem from their perspective as well, and they made it very clear. They said that the messages that are coming from Washington are being marketed by these so-called coyotes. These are the ones that illegally move people, up and across that border, that the coyotes hear things like, if I win my election, I'm going to treat you better. They hear things like a $15 minimum wage or $1,400 for illegal immigrants. They hear all of this, and they market this to very vulnerable people who give them their life savings. They, decide to get in with these cartels and these coyotes. Over half of them are victims of some sort of crime, whether they are involved in drug smuggling, whether they're involved in human trafficking, or some other sort of crime that occurs to them along the way. I heard this consistently, that over half of the people that are working with these coyotes are victimized. This is what's happening. They don't want this happening to their people. It's a crisis of our own making, of the Biden administration's own making.
Senator, do we have any idea of how many illegals have been dropped off in the state of Tennessee?
We don't know the answer to that. We are working right now to get more information on that. The latest data I had was as of March. All of the instances that you described, Todd, that I described have happened since then. In March, it was less than 100 people. But we've got you know, certainly a sense that there are many more that are either coming into Chattanooga and staying, or they're using Chattanooga as a central location to then move them out to other locations where these migrants are going to be housed. We need more clarification. We need more information, and we need this to come to an end at our border, because they're really trying to turn the border into a turnstile and then moving these migrants. I presume it's happening all over the country. We just happen to catch it first in Tennessee.
I was about to say, I mean, it can't just be Chattanooga, and I'm wondering if other senators or any of your colleagues are saying they're hearing similar reports in their states.
They're very dialed in to what Senator Blackburn and I are doing, because they're certainly concerned that it's probably happening in their states.
Wow.
But we're the first to uncover it.
All right. Well, Senator, we appreciate you coming on the program and exposing this and again, fighting the good fight for the American people and for the good people of the state of Tennessee.
Thank you so much, Todd. Great to be on with you today.
All right. Good man right there, ladies and gentlemen. Bill Hagerty, in his first term, the junior senator, from the great state of Tennessee. And I'm telling you, it is happening in your neighborhood, too. They're just sneaking them in the dark of night. And this is unacceptable. The idea that even the governor of the state of Tennessee, the governor needs to be demanding answers from the federal government. And honest to goodness, I wouldn't allow those planes to land. I would not allow them to land. We've got to play hardball with this government. This is pretty nefarious stuff. All right, look, we're going to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. Real quick, want to give you an update on this breaking news story out of San Jose, where a gunman opened fire at a facility for trains. We understand there are nine victims. So do we know, Grace, if those are nine dead or just nine people who have been shot? Do we have any indication?
So far, I just know that they've been shot.
All right. So nine people shot. We know the suspect is dead.
No, I'm reading an update now, Todd. There are actually nine dead.
All right. Nine confirmed dead,
yes,
including the gunman who was an employee. So this was a case of workplace violence is what this is.
That's what it sounds like.
It happened at a place called the Valley Transportation Authority Control Center. Look, this is where, if you know anything about subways, all the trains end up in one location at the end of the day. That's where this happened in San Jose, California. We also understand multiple people are injured, nine dead, including the gunman. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
I got to tell you, folks, I got the My Slippers. Oh, at least one foot feels good. I can't wait to try out the other slipper once the swelling goes down. In case you might have missed yesterday's show, I broke my foot. I guess it cracked. I don't know what the official title of it is, but it hurts. I'll say that it hurts. But our good friend Mike Lindell is now introducing My Slippers. And it took Mike 2 years to develop these slippers. And the best part about it, you can wear them inside and outside all day long. The My Slippers are made with MyPillow foam and the impact gel. And Grace, I got to tell you, it's like you are just walking on MyPillows, but you're not. You know, that would be difficult. But you're walking on slippers that are made with the same thing that they put into the pillows.
So basically it's like you're on cloud nine.
Oh, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
That is a great way to describe it, actually. But they're made with quality leather suede, and the MyPillow foam, the impact gel, you're going to love them. And Mike, just because he likes us and we treat him well here on this program, he's going to give our listeners 40% off the new My Slippers. They are incredibly comfortable, and I would encourage you to get some for the whole family. You're going to love them. So here's what you need to do. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Square, and use my promo code, STARNES, S-T-A-R-N-E-S. That's the code I use when I buy my Christmas presents for the family. You're going to get a deep discount, again, 40% off. That's unbelievable. And you're also going to be able to get some great discounts on the Giza Dream Bed Sheets. Amazing. And also the MyPillow mattress topper, and who I gave to another staff member here at the show, and they love it. And also the MyPillow towel set. I don't have the towels yet. I got to get the towels. So MyPillow.com, use the promo code STARNS, or you can pick up the phone, call 800-839-8506, and when you talk to the operator, just use the promo code STARNS. All right. A couple of weird stories to talk about. I'm not sure. You know, I'm going to start with the this poem. I've been telling you that public schools are indoctrination centers. Hold off on the music. Hold off. I've been telling you these public schools are indoctrination centers for the left. You send your kid there, and you back in the day, they were churning out academics, but now they're churning out little left-wing robots. And I remember back in the Obama years where they were teaching the kids to sing praise and worship songs to Barack Hussein Obama, and the children's choirs were literally singing Barack Hussein Obama. Well, it's getting worse. So now they've got students in a fifth grade classroom in Massachusetts, and they're writing poems about the vaccine. So they're writing poetry about the vaccine. We've asked for a little bit of background music because, you know, we try to be a classy joint around the Todd Starnes Radio Show. And I want to do a reading, a recitation of this poem. And Grace Avery, I will do my best, but this is a dramatic reading of Dear Vaccine.
I'm ready.
I'm not.
Save us, dear vaccine. Take us seriously. We had plans. We were going places. Children in kindergarten. So many voices in chorus. Give us our world again. Tiny gleaming vials. Enter our cities and towns. Shining your light. Restore us to each other. We liked our lives. Maybe we didn't think them enough. Being able to cross the street with people we did not know, pressing an elevator button, smiling at strangers, standing in line to pay. We liked standing in line. Wait, what? We liked standing in line more than we pretended. It's a quick prick in the arm. That's not the only prick. Pardon me. You'll barely notice it. It's the gas in the car getting us going again. It's the turn in the road. Face-to-face conversation someday soon. It's the hug forever. It's the hug. Vaccine, please make the air clean. We went to yoga class. Deep collective breathing. Deep collective breathing in small rooms in cities where we didn't even live. How brave we were. Vaccine, please. Please restore our lives. Believe they were beautiful. The end.
Oh, my God.
You okay there?
I have no words.
I was about to choke on my laughter, but I was trying to keep my mouth shut so you could get through that and I could hear the music.
What the hell did we just read? What is this?
That was... I feel like that was a Broadway play.
I have no words after that. That said it all.
I think we're going to get nominated for a Marconi Award. I feel great.
Oh, my
gosh. That was amazing.
So the children are having to read this poem about the China virus vaccine.
But they're not even just reading it, are they, Todd?
No. They're right. I mean, here's the thing, guys. When you actually look at the studies, like, 19 children have died of the China virus. It's a terrible thing, but a pandemic does it not make.
kids are at the least amount of risk for dying from the coronavirus.
Can I just say this? We like standing in line more than we pretended.
Nope.
That's
completely genuine. I did not like standing in line, and I still don't like standing in line.
Mm. So
I will say, though, the one thing that I will say is that the 6 feet social distancing has actually made standing in line a whole lot more manageable because you don't have some total stranger.
But it makes the line look so much longer.
It does. Yeah,
I've got to work on my deep collective breathing. That kind of came across a little creepy, I think.
Oh, just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
We weren't. That's the Barry White music stuff, not whatever we were just playing.
That was Joe Biden with a kid in his lap eating an ice cream cone.
Ew.
That's what that was.
Don't we have a commercial? Yeah, there we go. I was about to say, don't we have a commercial break to go to?
It's the hug. The hug forever. It's the hug. This
that
is the
amazing,
Todd Starnes Show. Jeez, Lou. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. You know, I think we just gave NPR a run for their money with the online radio poetry reading. That was sort of like a poetry jam or slam. Or can I just say something though, Grace? Here's the thing I don't get, and Avery, nothing rhymed.
Nope.
I didn't pick up a rhyme.
You know, I read on the assignment for students about that poem. It said it didn't need to rhyme and it didn't need to be grammatically correct.
What?
It's like, oh, great. We're encouraging misspelling words.
Poetry slam. That's the word I was looking for. Not jam. Poetry, you know.
Yeah, poetry slam. Poetry. I was thinking, I was like, that doesn't sound right.
Whatever.
I mean, it depends on what kind. I don't know what kind of meeting you're going to. But
I like a good limerick. You know, those are always funny.
Yeah.
Some most not repeatable on the radio, but they're worth a chuckle.
Sure.
Yeah.
Got a question for you guys. I know you guys are big Disney fans.
Yeah.
And
yes.
The Disneyland is selling a new sandwich called the Pimini. It's not a panini. It's P-Y-M.
Pimini.
Pimini.
There you go.
Thank you.
He sounds very confident.
They're selling this on the Avengers campus, which I suspect Avery understands.
I want to go so bad. I want to go so bad.
I've never heard Avery more excited about anything.
Wow,
oh, my gosh.
My word. This is like becoming a Christian at Vacation Bible School excitement. I've never heard such excitement from Avery. So they're selling this sandwich, and I'm going to describe the sandwich to you. It's salami and rosemary ham, sun-dried tomato spread on toasted focaccia bread.
Okay.
Sounds so good.
It's $99.99.
What?
That's how much the sandwich cost. $100.
That's not worth $100.
But I'm feeling, Todd, you were about to lead into this, so I'm sorry to step on your thunder.
He's
but
trying to
it's
defend
a,
Disney.
It is a giant sandwich. It is meant for 6 to 8 people.
Oh, well, there you go. I mean, 8 people, that's not as bad.
But still, I mean, it's that's still a lot of money for basically
no doubt.
I mean,
a deli
be like
sandwich.
$13 a person.
Yeah.
Which is that... Like $13 per person is safe to say, like, that's how much it would cost per person to eat a regular meal
at Disney World.
Okay, it's $14.99. Yeah, so doing the math, $14.99 a person. You also get crispy potato bites. I don't know, what is that, like a French fry or a tater
probably
tot?
Like breakfast potato type of thing.
Oh, that's
oh, no, they're good.
And arugula salad.
Oh, I'm not a fan of the arugula salad.
Well, I'm becoming more familiar with the green part
of
the grocery
store. Oh, yeah,
you have
to. See, you can have that. So we'll just eat the sandwich, and we'll give you the salad. There you
go. Exactly. So Disney, me and Grace will have the sandwich.
Disney says split 8 ways, though. It's just about $12 per person.
Okay. Okay.
That sounds good.
Is it? And again, it's Pimini?
Pimnini.
Yeah. Pimnini. That's very Pimnini. Difficult. They make it very difficult. Why don't they just call it McDonald's or McMouse or something? I don't know.
Trademark.
Oh, it's named after an Avengers character. You didn't tell me that, Avery.
Yeah, Hank Pym. He's Ant-Man, and so he has the ability to grow and shrink down to the size of an... Or, well, he can shrink down to the size of an ant, and he can grow somewhere between, like, 50
it all makes sense
tall
now.
Or something like that.
None of this makes sense.
It makes sense if you watch the movies, Todd.
All right.
Tell you that
man, don't you touch his Avengers, Todd.
You know, it's a Wednesday. I've got a head cold right now, as you can all probably tell. Don't mess with me right now.
Avery's in a bad mood today.
That's it.
All right.
You got the sniffles.
Yeah, I already ate my sandwich like an hour ago.
So this is not, he's not hangry. This is like real, like, anger coming out. This is not a good look for you, Avery. I'm just going to say.
But, I'll work on it. I'll pray about it. I'm sorry.
Work on your anger management problems, if you don't mind. This story coming out of Lord knows where, St. Joseph County, Michigan. Now, you know, the Zoom stuff has been like a big deal, right? Everybody's been doing the Zoom calls.
Zoom dates. Zoom everything.
Mm-hmm. So there was a guy, I guess, in St. Joseph County, Michigan. They can't go to court, so they have to Zoom into the court arraignment. And so there was a guy that got arrested, and he showed up to the court's Zoom stream. And you know how you have a screen? Do you guys have screen names for, like, Zoom?
No, I just put my regular name.
I just put my regular name.
So some people would put in, like, a funny name or something.
Okay.
You know
they're
how
trying to be
do
clever. I get it.
So anyway, we're going to play. We did bleep this, correct? All right. Kyle assures me this has been cleaned up. We're going to play the audio of what happened. So this guy, he shows up to his court hearing via Zoom, and the judge, his name is Jeffrey Middleton, this is what happened.
Then we'll bring this fool in. Good morning, sir. What's your name?
Me?
Yeah, you. Yes.
Nathaniel Saxon, sir.
Your name's not Butt-f***er 3000, you yo-ho. Logging into my court with that as your screen name.
Why
would that? Discuss that in a little bit. What kind of idiot logs into court like that? What's your name again?
Nathaniel Saxon, sir, but I don't believe that I typed anything like that in.
Well, that's what it says.
Why? I apologize. That should not
be. Yeah, you should. I'll put you in the waiting room. You can sit in limbo for a while and think about what you call yourself online.
Oh,
dang! So the guy, his name is Nathaniel Saxon,
mm-hmm.
but his name showed up as Butt Blanker 3000.
Oh my gosh!
So that's
So.
And the judge. Can we just talk about the judge for a moment? The judge.
He was so snarky.
Well, he sounded drunk.
I
would have done a drug test on the judge.
There's all kinds of weird stuff going on in that.
What kind of idiot comes in here and Butt Blanker 3000?
Yeah, he just didn't sound like he was having it that day.
No,
he made
did
him
not.
Sit in like the Zoom waiting room.
So the judge
go to timeout.
Put him on glorified hold.
So the judge basically thought this guy was pulling a fast one. He was trying to be a wiseacre. But it turns out, and this is according to lawandcrime.com, it turns out that the defendant said that his sister set up his Zoom account, and she's the one who named it that, and it was an inside joke, and he had no idea, and he was just horrified. So he apologized to the judge. But anyway, the guy was charged with, I think, drug possession or something.
That probably didn't help his case too much.
No, it's horrible. So the judge says that he asked, okay, so is your sister there? And it turned out the sister was not. And the judge said, tell her she almost got you put in jail for contempt of court. He was gonna throw him in jail.
Sister getting him in trouble
for an inside joke.
Apparently.
The state of Missouri versus Butt Blanker 3000.
Jeez. Oh, what a title. What a name.
That's a kid.
Judge Jeffrey Middleton presiding. That's not good.
Oh, no, it's not.
That is not. You know you're having a bad day. I'm telling you, folks, you know, always double check stuff. You know, don't go with the goofy names. Just go with your name.
Don't. And make sure your computer and your accounts are locked.
That's it. Very important. I wonder what the guy said to his sister after it was all over.
I would have been so mad.
Mm-hmm.
So mad.
Probably lots of explicitives.
The judge could have gone. I mean, look, I get it. The judge was apparently in a foul mood because he could have had some fun with it. All right. Mr. Butt Blanker, what do you have to say for yourself?
Yeah, he wasn't having that.
Sounds he's like probably just sick and tired of dealing with court cases over.
Probably.
Zoom,
probably the end of his day.
That could have been a long day. I mean, that's true. That and you know what? That's fair. That's fair. Maybe, and you got to do what you got to do to get through the day. I mean, it is what it is. Oh, by the way, guys, a completely unrelated story. June 30th, ladies and gentlemen, mark your calendar. We're going to be debuting our book, the new book, Our Daily Biscuit, on Huckabee's TV show. So we're going to be making the drive up to Nashville, and we're going to be in studio with Governor Mike Huckabee, and we're going to be talking about the book and politics and who knows what. And we would love for you to get yourself an advanced copy of Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. It's a lot of fun. We have heard so many great reviews of the book, people already starting to get those advanced copies. And we would love for you to get a copy. You can get it wherever you buy your books. All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to do some crime news, a lot of crazy stuff happening. Also give you an update on what's happening over in San Jose. 844-747-8868 if you want to give us a call. Open lines this hour. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us. So what's the deal now? So Legos went transgender, and now Kellogg is the cereal folks. They're going full-blown LGBT2. Boxes are for cereal, not people. That's their theme. So I'm not quite sure what they're saying because, yes, boxes, that is true. You put the cereal in the box, not people. Okay. So this is the theme of the Together with Pride cereal. So when you go to the when you go down to the Piggly Wiggly or the Winn-Dixie, you will find in the wherever you get your Fruit Loops or Fruity Pebbles, they will be in boxes that are adorned with LGBT paraphernalia and whatnot. By the way, did you see the Biden town hall? This was interesting. Grace Baker. They had a Joe Biden town hall that nobody watched, like 14,000 people watched.
Oh, so it sounds like one of his rallies.
And, well, no, that would have been a massive rally.
That's true.
It was a town hall about the China virus, and Dr. Fauci, St. Fauci was there.
I see what you did there.
And some guy, one of the people was a male YouTube makeup dude, so he, I don't...
Was his name James Charles or something?
I don't know. Mamu or something. I don't know. It doesn't really matter.
Jeez.
But anyway, the guy was asking Joe Biden, the president of the United States, about male cosmetics.
Oh, my.
So I'm not sure if he was offering to do the president's makeup. I don't know. But there was that. So anyway.
Creepy.
It is. It's just very bizarre.
Well, no wonder nobody watched.
Mm-hmm. All right, time now for some crime news.
Keeping you updated on crimes sweeping across the Fruited Plain.
I ain't scared of no popo call, the popo call, the popo.
This is the Starnes ABB.
All right, this is from the Argus Leader. Great newspaper in the Midwest. A horrible incident on Interstate 29. A semi loaded with commodes had an accident. According to the Argus Leader, the semi was heading southbound on Interstate 29. Do you see, every time I hear that music, my voice changes.
I noticed. You go into like your news anchor voice.
This just in.
It's raining a lot outside.
Just one moment. This just in.
There you go.
The semi was heading southbound on Interstate 29 with back doors open. Somebody opened the back door of the semi.
Uh-oh.
And these giant toilet bowls started bouncing out.
It's actually really dangerous.
Yeah.
They're heavy.
Police are now trying to locate the semi. Apparently, they were able to track the toilets. So much like you would Hansel and Gretel in the forest, you know, they left little crumbs.
What?
So they left porcelain toilet bowls.
Hopefully nothing else.
The semi was last seen near 26th Street and 41st. That's a lot of toilets to drive.
Holy cow.
The Argus Leader says if you see a wild toilet bowl in the roadway, snap a photo, send it our way.
Okay.
I guess the toilets had the runs.
I guess so.
Oh, there you go. All right.
That was
good
joke.
One, Todd. Ha, 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 ha.
All right, next story. This from the New York Post. Over 1,100 pounds of methamphetamine was discovered in a watermelon shipment seized by Border Patrol.
Oh, my.
This happened at the Otay Mesa port of entry. Authorities stopped a 47-year-old Mexican driving a truck with a trailer. The canine team sniffed out the meth. 193 containers. That's a lot of meth.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean,
a
lot of meth.
I've heard of putting salt on your watermelon, but this is different.
Or if you're Hunter Biden, Parmesan cheese.
There you go.
Authorities estimated the drugs worth about $2.5 million. Truck driver arrested and facing federal charges. So he could have been charged with cultural. If he'd have been a white guy being caught with watermelon, that could have been a hate crime.
Mm.
I'm just
that poor
saying.
Watermelon.
I'm just saying. Now, this next story, I want to address the headline of this story. It's from The Smoking Gun. And this is about a domestic turtle. Here's the headline. Domestic turtle dispute is defused by Ohio police. When I first saw this, I thought, dear Lord, did they load it up with, like, was it wearing a suicide vest? What were they defusing?
It is a bit of it's an interesting headline.
What's under the shell, sir? What's under the shell? Anyway, cops were called to an Ohio residence to deal with competing claims on an African side-neck turtle.
They're fighting over a turtle.
Devin Staw, age 28, told the cops he left the turtle with his parents when he went out of town for a few days with his girlfriend, you know?
It's always a girl
it's
involved.
It's always the girl when it comes to the African turtles with the side-necks. What does that mean?
Side-neck? It's a turtle.
Is that like a deformed turtle? I mean, if your head is on the
type
side of
turtle.
Of your neck.
It probably has, it probably can turn its
how
neck.
How does
really
the
well.
Head walk? How does it walk? I just don't understand.
It's got a little crick in its neck when it walks.
Yeah. Anyway, he says he has receipts. The parents claim otherwise. I guess it's an expensive turtle.
So will they get shared custody of the turtle?
That's a good question.
They get him every other weekend.
Oh, the mother says the turtle was in poor health.
Uh-oh.
When they began caring for the pet and nursed it back to health.
Okay, now good. I'm on the parents'
side. So there you go. Oh, by the way, so here's how it ended. So they've agreed that the parents will retain custody of the turtle and no visitation rights.
Dang.
For no That's, visitation rights.
Wow. That turtle's going to grow up in a difficult household.
It's sad. It's a broken home. And that's a tough place for a turtle. This from The Smoking Gun. Oh, you always got a Florida story. Florida woman battered her boyfriend, not with a frying pan, not with her fist.
Not with a cat.
Not with a cat, but with soiled dog pads.
Ew.
It happened during a late night confrontation that also included the victim getting sprayed in the face with Windex.
Jeez.
I
never used those puppy training pads. Didn't
Ann,
need them. But.
Ann Walsh, age 60, attacked her boyfriend. They call him a beau,
oh,
but it's the boyfriend.
Yeah.
And she has been charged with a domestic battery, booked into the county jail. Forget the wet wipes. I would have asked for, you know, like some soap.
The Windex ain't going to cut it either to get rid of that smell.
Maybe a wet wipe or two. Mm-hmm. All right, folks, there you go. That's the crime news of the day. And that music means we've got to scoot out of here. Been a great show today, folks. Tomorrow, Rand Paul. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Be good, America.